If you think about it, like, we're being pretty bro-y right now. Dude, like, we're drinking IPAs and listening to Slightly Stupid.
Super bro.
It doesn't get more, like, white bro than that. So, I got a special guest in the house, guys. This is a close friend of mine. Not only is he a close friend, he's a skateboarder. We actually have done a tons of projects together. And it's weird because the year is almost up. We have 10 days left before the new year. And I'm sitting across this dude and I'm just like, fuck, we've accomplished so much in like this year alone. You know, me and Scott got basically hired on to do to create content for an electric skateboarding company. Shout out to Skatebolt. And we got together and in less than a month, we pumped out 4, you know, big production videos, including an Indiegogo video, which is, if you guys aren't familiar with Indiegogo, these companies put out these promotional videos to raise money for their business. So you put a goal out, like, I want to raise $10,000 to create a new line of shoes. And then you make a commercial, and based on that video, people donate and buy your product before it comes out. So long story short, we set a goal of $50,000. And what happened the second day when we clicked on that Indiegogo campaign?
It made like half of its goal. Like the goal was 50,000, I think, in a day.
50
made,
grand.
Yeah, in a day.
We hit like the 25. Goal. You hit the goal, and I remember, like, in I think 4 days might have been.
The whole goal itself took like a week, I think.
Okay.
But half the money was made in a day.
So, Scott, and like, let me explain this to you guys. When you're raising money, the video is everything. So this video has to get people to give you money. And it came out so good that not only within the first week did they reach the full potential, we doubled that by half. We got to, it ended at like...
It ended at a little over 100K, maybe like 102,000 or something.
So you blew out your goal by...
But yeah, so basically in a week it made its actual goal, which was 50. And then at the very end of the actual campaign itself, it had made a little over $100,000.
The crazy thing is too, is we how many videos did we do? We did 4 videos?
I think it was, no, it was like 5 technically.
We did 5 videos.
4 of them were like comedy videos, and then mm-hmm. the 5th one was that Indiegogo crowdfunder.
And yeah, we just ended this thing with a bang. What is that noise? Do you hear something?
It's just like a motorcycle outside.
Is it a motorcycle? It almost sounded like a vibrator somewhere.
Vibrator from far away?
Yeah, like maybe someone is a ghost is using a vibrator somewhere around the place. But yeah, so we ended up making 5 videos. You guys could check them out online. But it was just such a crazy thing because it was the first time I was ever to be put into a position where I got to produce. And me and this guy wrote the script. We hired the actors, and we put out the call times, and we shot our shit. And I must say, for someone who is into, entertainment or anything, it's like the next step of your, I would call it like entertainment education, being able to like produce and be a part of those videos.
Yeah. Just being behind the scenes and helping put something together as opposed to just showing up and being in it.
Yeah, like I've always just been a guy who shows up and you go on camera, but yeah. to see it all the way through was like a cool thing. And then I got to kind of discover the world of production, where like everyone kind of plays a role. You know, I got to know the key grip guy, the third AD. There's so many different little titles. And then you just think that, like, God, without these guys, it's like you can't create anything. Like, if you want to do something right, on average, how many guys do you think you need for, I mean, like, a...
Like, for what kind of video? Because it really just depends. There's some where you can do it with two. There's some that you
how about
can
like
do
porn?
With 10.
How many... How many people do you need to form like a high-end porno?
I actually know, I'm not going to bring up his name, but I actually know someone that I film with who has a friend that works for Brazzers, which I think is really funny. I don't really know that many details about it, but from what he told me, he was basically saying, like, yeah, the guy that we're talking about, he actually like checks in the porn stars and then he like writes down their name. They has them sign like waivers and stuff like that. And then they go in and then.
Does he get to go witness these productions? Like, does he go check out the set?
I've heard he performed in it. So.
Oh, he's a fucking.
Yeah.
He's a director / like, oh,
no, he's not a director.
Is he a
like
POV director or
he's
something?
The production assistant.
Okay.
Again,
and then
really,
he gets to be in the videos.
Yeah, I don't know the details, but that's kind of what I've picked up from what he's told me. But it's just like any other production. Like, they have a sound guy and a lighting guy.
Did I ever tell you this story? I had a friend, he used to install, like, audio and surveillance cameras and rich, like, he did shit for Stan Lee, and he does these, like, really nice homes. And so he gets everything alerted on his phone. So he can watch what's happening in these houses that they use for production. And so one day we're skating and he just screams at me to come over. And I'm like, dude, he's like, dude, oh my, you know what? It's something so crazy. You can't even talk.
Yeah.
He's just like holding his mouth. Like, what the fuck? So I'm not lying. He presses play. There's a chick sitting on a chair. There's a guy sitting like eagle style on the two of the, and he's just ramming his dick in her throat, and it was like a full fucking production. There was like an AD going up her asshole, and there was like it was weird because what we were watching was a porn production, so it was like we were watching the behind the scenes shit, where like the guy like got a cramp, so he'd have to take a break, and the chicks. Like mouse, you know, it's like we just saw a production and we full on saw fucking porno. And it's just nuts that like in any production, guys, there's so many people that have to be involved.
Yeah, definitely.
Like there's a third grip, a second grip, an AD, a second AD.
Yeah, it takes a village to do all these things just because it takes a lot of like organization, like scheduling, and then. Like, if you want to do it right, it's just you need so many people, like, holding something or setting something up. And then all of those different positions, they're all, like, a specialized trade.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have those people that specialize in that specific thing. Because it's really hard to understand how to do, like, all of it and be good at all of it. So that's why you bring in all those special, like, people. Because there's so many little details that go into each thing. That's, like, you need... That's why, like, there's a professional, like... lighting guy, professional camera, professional.
So when you say professional, like when do you know you become professional? Do you need a certificate, like a business light? Like,
no,
like how do you know that guy is good at lighting? Like, is it just his resume?
Honestly, like there's this, it's kind of weird because you don't need a certificate doesn't mean anything in that world. Like college degrees don't mean anything in that world. And you're going to run into a lot of people that claim to be professional, but they're really not. So it's kind of hard to tell. It's like, you just have to, if you really, really know it, you'll be able to point them out basically because they all work in a certain way. And there's people that are less experienced that work in a certain way where if you're more experienced, it's easy to point them out because they don't do it properly, but they may not even know that they're not doing it properly because I feel like there's a certain degree where it's subjective, but at the same time, it's not. I don't know a better way to explain that, but everyone has their own interpretation of what professional is, because everyone has their own interpretation of what a good video looks like. But then in the more professional world, there's more of that like common ground of like what's considered professional. But then at the same time, like there's this certain extent to where it's not. So there's this weird, it's just when it comes to like figuring out who's professional and who's not, it's like a really confusing area to look into, because you're basically going off of a whole bunch of different opinions.
So it's more or less like word of mouth, like, oh, this guy works good in audio and he'll kick you over this guy's contact. And then,
yeah, to a certain degree, like it's not always going to be about that, but that does play a pretty big role. To me, like professional is just like understanding how to do it properly to where it like looks or sounds good. And then, you know, how to like work professionally, like on a set, and like behave yourself and like kind of work in a way that benefits the entire thing. And then, just knowing what you're doing and being chill and like knowing what to do when certain problems come up. It's like knowing how to fix certain things, because that's usually another sign that they're not professional either. It's like if an issue comes up and they have no clue how to figure it out, that could usually be a sign. Not every single time, but most professionals will know what to do in certain situations. Or if they don't know, like they are typically experienced enough to know how to figure it out on their own.
Well, this is kind of like what happened too while we were filming all these videos. We started collaborating with like YouTube influencers, and then you would think like, fuck dude, someone who has this many subscribers would have any idea of how to be on a real set. And then you work with them and you're just like, God, and this is the sad thing between, you know, people on professional sets that do actual productions versus, you know, yourself, YouTube production is a level of professionalism that they don't comprehend. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of it, like we had one YouTube guy, you know, like two YouTube guys take over the set and act like they were fucking Michael Bay producing this whole thing. And it's like, bitch, you're just the talent, like know your place. And they're throwing their hand. I would do it this way, I'd do it that way. No, shut the fuck up. We pay you and you just go on camera. It's like these YouTube guys are all about doing you. And it's like, you can't do you on a fucking production because there's so many people doing different things. And ultimately it really comes down to the director and the assistant director, whoever's producing it.
Like the director and the producers, the assistant director is not really the person that has creative say in what goes on. They're just in charge of like kind of managing people. Like while the director like works creatively, like the assistant director is the guy that kind of like makes sure everything's kind of running on schedule and making sure everyone is where they need to be.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. It was such a cool experience. And we did such a variety of different videos. Like we shot a music video and I got to see the process of how a music video went down, you know, going into a studio, you know, shooting the video. And then we did another like social prank kind of YouTube style, which I think was probably the least one you enjoyed, right?
Yep. That's the one that I didn't even bother sharing because I just thought it was so bad.
It just, are you not like, into those social prank things?
No, it's not really my style and not something that I'm really interested in. But of course, like Skatebolt was paying us to do it. So of course they're my clients. So I got to follow through.
And they actually hated that video the most.
Really?
I think they hated the couch and they didn't like our hip hop video.
The Make It Wang, I knew they didn't like it, but I didn't know about the couch one. I thought they liked the couch one.
They kind of liked the couch one, but not really. They thought it was pointless.
I mean, I thought it was too. So
I don't know. I thought they were fucking all pretty good in their own like unique sense.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was more just like the couch one, the whole content of it. It's like too, I'll say, quote unquote, like Instagram for me.
Yeah, you know, so we did a prank, which we took a couch and we put two electric boards and we cruised all of the Venice Beach.
Couch on top of the two electric boards.
And it ended up being a fucking disaster because we could never get it right where it would just keep going. It kept veering off to the right or to the left. And then Victor, this over fucking grown Russian guy, like who looks like Drago, who's, you know, he's one of those guys that do those pranks like, where's nigga? Where's nigga? And then the black guy's like, what'd you say? You call me a nigga? And he's like, I mean, nightclub. And it's like borderline offensive, hacky pranks.
Yeah, it's more like just try to make it go viral kind of.
Yeah, he's one of those like content. I need to go viral guys. So we work with this guy. And it ends up being a fucking, like, it was just a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Because we're doing this prank and the boards aren't even working right. So, you know, we're not cruising on the couch like we thought we would. And then Victor's ego is kind of like getting in the way of everyone. And at one point, you know, he gets mad at Scott and they start going at it.
I remember.
Yeah, that was like crazy because I looked over at Scott and I was just like, dude, I don't think I've ever seen you so flustered before in my life. Like, yeah. You were really, really like put in a weird position.
Well, the reason for that is because another thing I wanted to bring up is occasionally there's probably been like maybe two or three people that comment about the video. You're like, oh yeah, I would have done it this way, or I don't really like the way you shot like this. And I'm in my head, I'm just like, dude, if you saw how difficult it was just to get one shot on that, you would understand why like it looks kind of shitty compared to the stuff.
You mean the couch one?
Yeah, the couch one, because you were there, like we're at Venice
and we
Beach.
Used a gizmo, right, for a lot of the shots.
The DJI, what the hell is it called? The Osmo Pocket.
Is that thing popular still, the Osmo?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a budget camera that's useful. But basically, I shot it with that because my rig, I knew that it would just make things more complicated. And because we're on a couch, on electric skateboards, on a bike path in Venice Beach on a Sunday, where it's packed as hell, it's like I already figured that we were going to get shut down quickly. So I used like the little DJI Osmo to shoot it faster because it's so little. And then basically like I shot that, and because of all those other variables of us being, you know, basically probably doing something that's illegal, I was trying to get it done as quickly as possible. Like I was like, one take, if it was good, I'm moving on, because I already knew in the back of my mind, like there's a really good chance that we're going to get kicked out. And of course, like I have to make sure we get everything that we need in that day. So I'm going to one shot, looks good enough. All right, move on. It was way too hard to like shoot to and too risky to shoot like more than one. So that's why I shot it like kind of sloppy. And then I got some people saying like, oh, I don't really like the way it was shot like this, or an angle like this. I'm like, dude, You try shooting.
Wait,
something
who's,
like that.
Who's maybe saying this? Like people on the YouTube or you directly?
Not to me directly, but like I have a friend that actually liked the video and he showed it to his friend. And then the friend was like, it's not that good because it was shot like in this way and then that way. And I'm in my, and then I think you had a friend that was kind of commenting on like, oh, I think it should have been shot this way, blah, blah, blah. Maybe one other person at the very minimum, like two, brought up comments like that. In my mind, it's just like, I'm totally okay with like getting constructive criticism. Like it doesn't bother me at all. But on a video like that, like any criticism is irrelevant to me because one, that's not my best work. And then two, I was trying to get it done so quick because of,
so
I knew that we were probably going to get kicked out. We ended up not getting kicked out, which we got pretty lucky of.
Well, if you think about it, like if you're a serious cinematographer and you're trying to like, you know, have this amazing portfolio of shit. I'm pretty sure, like, the last thing you want to show is, like, some prank YouTube video.
Yeah, exactly. Because
it's not really going to show much
it doesn't
talent in terms of, like, filming.
Yeah, exactly. And also, even if I did shoot it nicely or nicer, like, that kind of material is just not something that I actually care about or I'm proud to show.
Like the YouTube prank shit.
Yeah, like for me, I want to show artistic stuff. Mm-hmm. Music videos, films.
Have you fucked with like a motion picture yet? Have you ever thought about doing a feature or?
I actually camera operated a feature not too long ago.
Was that Eric's?
No, someone else. So the story was a buddy of mine who's a DP. Shout out to Ryan Huang if you're watching this.
Shout out Ryan.
So he was the DP for the film and he wanted a camera operator for it. So basically like on some like bigger type of projects, like the DP doesn't touch the camera. Like they only direct
the camera. Now what's the DP mean other than
the director of photography?
I thought it was double penetration.
In some people's worlds, yeah.
So it's director, what is it again?
Director of photography.
Okay.
So basically a buddy of mine was the director of photography and he wanted to be more hands off on the camera. So he brought me on to camera operate it. And he was
so when you go director of photography, now does that limit your to photos or camera? Like is that video recording as well?
No,
or
no, it's another word for cinematographer.
Okay.
Director of photography, that's
because I'm thinking
for
like
it, but it does sound
a guy who's
misleading.
The director of just pictures and shit.
Yeah, the name is a little misleading.
It is misleading,
but it means the guy who's in basically what I've been doing whenever I'm shooting like the videos.
So the highest guy on set is director, or is it the DP?
No, it's the director.
So
technically, it would be like the producers or the executive
producers. So if you're okay, so if you're at the highest level, like you're the director, can you fire people and shit?
You do have a say in that, but I would say it mostly kind of falls on the producers and the because they're the ones in charge of like the logistical stuff, where the director is in charge of the more creative stuff. But the director does have a pretty good say in stuff
like
that
what
too.
He wants and what
so
he
if
needs.
He wanted to fire someone, he totally could.
It was just cool, like going through that process of like writing the script, you know, doing open casting, and then like, I mean, you know, I really think like it's so cool that we live in a day and age where we could just produce and write and do our own thing and just put it out to the public.
Yep.
On your own terms.
That's what I'm trying to do now. That now that we're not working with Skatebolt and making those videos anymore, I don't want to stop making the comedy videos. I haven't made one since Skatebolt, but just been working on the sidelines, saving up money so that I can start making that stuff again. Because that really lit a fire under my ass to like do it again.
So what kind of happened? What sucked was, you know, we were trying to explain to this skate company, and I know you guys are tuning in. This is a little more technical podcast for people like into production and shit like that. But if you're fucking really about that life, like there's some really there's some very vital things you could take away from this. And what happened was sometimes with productions, what sucks is ultimately it's like we're being funded by you know, people, investors. And sometimes, you know, if the investors don't like a project or something falls through, then
it goes to shit.
And we did this one commercial for this for one of these guys that was like a referral, and that just ended up being a nightmare, because after we had shot it, I mean, we all worked so hard on it. We hired the actors, we wrote the script, and then when it came out, I mean, this guy hated it. Like he like takes Scott into a room and like berates him and calls him like he's like, what is this? And he starts like nitpicking everything and did you go to college and all this shit, and then, you know, basically tries to like, you know, change the entire thing around. And then not only does he do this weird thing where he like, you know, fucks up the whole thing, and he's telling Scott, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing, tries hiring Scott again. That was fucking weird. It's like, I hate you, you're fired, but do you want a job again? It was like he knew our shit was good, but it was like, I didn't. That was a weird one.
Yeah, I was really surprised when he hit me up that second time, too. I was just like, this guy has some nerve. Like, after all,
because he's never seen good production like value like that before.
Probably. But yeah, I turned him down the second time he hit me up. It's just like it. My experience working with him the first time, it just wasn't worth it.
Yeah. So if you guys are ever in this, you guys ever, you know, start producing things, you just got to realize, like, at the end of the day, like, you can't make everyone happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy was just so not about this video, where we thought we did a pretty damn good job and we worked really hard on it. And now he spends all this money and it I don't even think they did anything with it.
No, they uploaded it to YouTube.
Did it get a lot of views?
No, like, they didn't put a good thumbnail. They didn't put a good title. So how is it really going to get, like, any views or any attention? It's like, they called it, the product. I'm not going to say the product name, but they just, in the title, it just said the product name and story. That's it. Like, not an enticing title. They had a product shot that looked good, but the shot wasn't actually relevant to what the video was about. It was just a shot of a girl, like, wearing the product. And
yeah, it was weird. And they had gone into our video and started, like, putting their own shit in there. Remember? Like, they kind of...
Oh, they fucked it up.
They added, right, like, different things and...
But you know what? That's kind of just how some jobs go. Like, people are very set in their ways on how they want to do something. You kind of just have to accept it and be like, well, this one wasn't meant to be, so just move on.
So you don't really get that creative freedom to do what you want to do.
Not 100%. Like, they'd have to really, really trust you in order to give you full creative freedom. Like with Skateball. Like, he fully trusted me to just do whatever, just about. That was really fun.
Yeah, so we were riding high on Skateball. And I know a lot of people ask me, like, what happened with it. What happened was we got shut down. Apparently, there was someone in the Skateball upper management that just felt as if the videos, they didn't believe in marketing, which was weird. They were like, just put the product. And we're like, no, you have to build an arch, a storyline. We're competing with other YouTubers. They're like, no, just put the, like, why does the video have people? I'm like, you need fucking people to, like, sell the product. No people. And it's weird because Chinese people, like, their mentality is just so straightforward. I don't think they understand in America it's all about, like, marketing, branding. They're just matter of fact. Yeah. Like, just put the product in a hip-hop song or something.
American marketing is more like hype it up as much as you can. And I noticed with like Chinese marketing, they just like to show off the technical pieces about it.
Yeah.
Which maybe back home over there, that's how it works. And I'm not going to judge it. But when they try to bring that over here, I'm just like, no, that's not how it works at all. You're going to put people to sleep with this video.
And what bummed us out was we didn't even get to start something that we felt like had the potential to grow. And a lot of times when you work for, like, Chinese companies, they want the results so fast. Like, they think everything is, like, a one-hit wonder. Like, they're looking for that, one, you know, that just they need the return. Mm-hmm. And what you realize with anything like a YouTube, and this is why I don't even fuck with it, is you have to really build. You have to build it for a minute.
Yeah, 100%.
And you have to really build a channel. And it's not easy. But if you're going to just think that, like, oh, three videos and we're not seeing, you know, a million subscribers, then you're just fucking delusional. I mean, especially in this day and age where anyone can upload a video onto YouTube and create a channel, you're up against the world. You have to be so unique to stand out online.
Yeah, because everyone and their moms are doing it now. People are doing it with their kids. Like, you got some moms that work at a dental office, like, doing it. You got these, you got their kids doing it, and then this business owner is doing it. Like, there's so many different people uploading videos now, and a majority of them are kind of uploading just the same general stuff. But the same general stuff is kind of what has been kind of working, but it's gotten to this point now where I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I'm kind of tired of watching, like, all the stuff that's been coming out lately.
On YouTube.
To me, it's all the same. It's vlogs, tech reviews, what else? What else is pretty common?
Compilation, funny,
compilations.
Weird shit.
I mean,
prank. I'm not like that invested in YouTube. I'm sorry, I'm not.
I'm pretty invested in YouTube. Like, it's something that I've always been into since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's changed so much.
Okay, so has it changed for the worst or the better?
Kind of both, in a sense. It's changed for the better in the sense that people can actually make a career out of it if they put in the effort. But also it's changed for the worst because now, because everyone's doing it, it's like it's oversaturated. So it's almost like what's so good about it is also what's really bad about it. There's so many people that are being able to make a living off of it and so many people uploading. But the bad part is it's like there's so many people like trying to do it that, and then there's just this oversaturation of what is, in my opinion, like the same types of content. Like, if you watch, one of the things that I watch is like, I like to watch like business or filmmaking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the business stuff is the same. It's just people wanting a videographer to follow them around and vlog about like their day-to-day like business entrepreneurial lifestyle. But it's really just them showing off like the things that they have, like their cars, their big business, and like sound bites of them saying something smart, and then with the filmmaking thing, there's a lot of like tech reviews, gear reviews, vlogs. And it's just like, I don't really see what I'm trying to get at is like, it's so much of that, like the same kind of content that's so focused on themselves, like whoever's uploading, but it's not so much about art anymore. Cause I remember when I was growing up watching YouTube a lot, like the videos that I was super into were more artistic. I would watch like comedy sketches and stuff like that has the artistic element to it. There's comedy. You have to write the jokes. You got to mm-hmm. film it. And then some people get creative with the cinematography and stuff. Skate videos. People would.
Do you watch a lot of movies?
Not a ton of movies, but I did like to watch like short films, like on YouTube and stuff. I watched movies when I was younger, but not as much as like watching YouTube. With skateboarding, like there was a lot more like personality based videos, more artistically put together videos. Nowadays, it's just vlogs. Like that's almost it. It's kind of rare that I see an artistic like skate piece. It's like for me, what really got me into it was like that creative element of like artistic expression. Now I feel like it's filled with a bunch of people just trying to be famous. And it's kind of good that it's gotten to a point where people can be able to do that and be able to make a living like doing YouTube. I'm not hating on them or anything,
yeah.
But I have noticed that it's like the way that it works and the kind of stuff that seems to be going that used to go on there is like that doesn't really work anymore. It's gone towards this like new type of a new type of reality TV sort of way, but it's more focused on filming yourself and presenting yourself, which, like, it's not bad. I'm not hating on it, because I do some of the videos that I make too, like, I do involve myself on it, but I feel like there's a lot of people that are on it just trying to, like, be famous and, like, copy what, like, the already, like, famous, like, people established people are doing, but there's not a lot of artistic expression. It's more just about, let me try to be the next big, like, YouTuber. Does that all make sense?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just feel like I really just go on the internet for two reasons. Porn and, like, to look shit up. I need to find out, you know?
Like, about porn?
No, I'm not interested about porn. Like, the production value of it. I don't know, man. I enjoy concentrated work.
What do you mean?
I enjoy movies.
Yeah.
I enjoy documentaries.
Stuff
like
that,
stuff like what?
Stuff that was, like, produced. Stuff that took time to put together and, like, actually has creative input in it.
Yeah, like, right? I'm still, in a weird way, like, even while I'm still the DVD guy.
Yeah.
Like, I need something that's has production value. Mm-hmm. I can't sit around and watch, like, this guy play with his cat and shit. Like,
yeah,
I'm not into fucking, you know, this girl that's 4 years old's life story. Like, get famous and write a book. Do some really crazy things and then write about it. Like, I just feel as if we live, you know, the turn of this generation is get a camera and do you. Mm. And whether it means a lot of times to get to a certain level of, like, anything, it's a lot of work. But people skip the hard work now because it's so easy to be a hot Instagram model.
Yeah.
It's so easy to, like, copy shit and then become, like, the Instagram or YouTube comedian. But then these same guys want to do, like, stand-up and then bomb horribly because they realize with good art, it takes a lot of work and owning up your skills to be able to do something. So, like, if I'm going to watch someone on YouTube, it's got to be something very phenomenal.
Right.
Where I can't do it, and it's so, like, out there. I just can't follow, like, I can't just follow a basic ass bitch, you know?
No, I totally get what you mean. And part of it, part of the reason why I feel like that's a thing is because there's so many people, like, kind of making names for themselves, like, on Instagram or YouTube or whatever. And when a lot of people see that, it's like, let's think about when you were younger. Like, or actually, I'll kind of use myself as an example because I'll be able to explain it better. Like, when I was a kid, people would always kind of put me down a lot. I always felt like I was being silenced in a lot of ways.
What do you mean put you down? Like, you're made fun of? Or,
like, I would try to express myself and I would be doing things that I like doing, which was making videos and skateboarding.
And people like, oh, God, Scott.
People would put me down for it.
Like, what kind of people? Your friends?
Yeah, like the friends that I hung out with.
They weren't skaters? Like,
they were skaters, but, like, at that time, making videos was fucking weird. It's not this big trend like it is now.
Yeah.
At that time, when I was making videos, it was not cool. If people saw that I was making videos, they're like, why are you making videos? That's weird. And I'm just like, this is what I find fun. But it also got to the point where it's like, I was kind of embarrassed to say that I did it. So it was always something that I kind of just did, like, low key. But that was kind of where I found my voice in a way, but that voice was still being suppressed because it wasn't, like, a cool thing to do. So it wasn't something that I openly talked about with people. And then just a mixture of other things. It's just like, oh, he's a skater. He's probably a bad kid. Or I was never a bad kid growing up, but I don't know, some people kind of interpreted me as one for some reason, even though like the friends I grew up around were probably
just because you're a skater. Did you look kind of grimy and shit?
Well, I was also that kid that didn't really care about school. So
I
didn't, in their eyes, I was bad.
No, they think you're bad when you don't care about school.
Yeah. But in reality, like I never got in really bad trouble for anything. I never did drugs when I was in school or anything. It was just, I didn't like school. Yeah, so they looked at, but they looked at me as like, oh, you don't care about school. You don't care about your future kind of person. It's like, I'm like, no, that's not the case. I just think that what I'm being taught is just stupid.
It's dumb.
And then, so I grew up most of the time like that, and growing up around like toxic people, like, and me being someone that wanted to express myself, but then also being around people that were a little bit more on the toxic side. It was always like that side of me was always like suppressed and put down. And then you kind of grow. And I know there's a lot of people that maybe you to a certain degree can relate to this, maybe not in the exact same way that I'm describing, but there's a way where you wanted to be yourself, but people were putting you down for being yourself.
Yeah. You know, and it's happened pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dumb, and I'll be honest, it kind of happened with my girlfriend. Cause my girlfriend is not a social media person.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a social media person, and it's not, I'm a social media person cause I'm trying to get likes or selfies, and I just have so many ideas, and I'm so like I want to put that out on my social media just to sell the idea of myself as a comedian slash skateboarder. So what I like to film is skateboarding, and I like to film comedy and voiceovers.
Yeah.
So every morning, you know, and we live together, I have to, you know, and it was like a period of time where, you know, she'd make those little comments. Oh yeah, he's always on his phone, or he's, there he is. You know, like, are you going to be an old man and do this? And it's just like, what the fuck do you want me to do? You want me to just not do anything and like just stare out the window? I enjoy this thing, and it's not because, you know, it's like I have no other way to connect to my fans other than my social media. And my social media, thank God I live in a day and age where I can branch out. I don't have to do a show every night for 200 people or 20 people in that room to remember me. Like, I can go on a fucking live stream. I can put out a funny clip. I mean, whatever inspires me, I like to share.
Yeah.
Once I get, and the problem is I get too many ideas in my head, and I just want to share everything. And maybe sometimes it's like people think it's oversharing, but it's like, no, fuck you. Who else is going to do this? I don't have a marketing manager. I don't have someone fucking updating my website. So for a period of time, it's like I'd hear all these negative things. And so finally one day, like, you know, I went and did a comedy show, and we got back home, and I was already like trying to put out a post, you know, thanking the people who came out to the show, thanking the guys who gave me free food and drinks all night. You know, I like to show my appreciation. And I know she had gotten really mad because it was like, oh, here we go again. And then I lost it. Like, literally was like, fuck, I don't want, you know, and it was like insane, because like then I start thinking like I'm crazy, because I'm social media is doing this to me. But then I'm like, what's wrong with that? That is me working. I'm not here to like get a selfie and likes. I'm here to do things so I can get my next gig. I'm here to do things so I could like keep it going. It's what, and for a while it made it really uncomfortable for me to like do these things, like wake up and do a voiceover, or be, because I'm scared of that comment of like, here we go again. And I think finally that day when I lost my shit, I think she realized, because it's like, I get that you're not into it, but you're also not dependent on that to get you work. You know, right. I get work by these things. I get booked. I get, you know, people sending me things so I could promote. Like, it's just like, it's a different world we live in. So I know what you mean when you like feel uncomfortable to do things that is truly yourself and something you want to enjoy doing without the ridicule of others. And that's why I was so alone for so long, because I just didn't like anyone telling me, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know? So anyways, that's my spiel on that whole.
Yeah. And then basically it's like that feeling, like, especially when you feel that when you're young, like it carries over into your adult life. If you felt like you've been suppressed and like your voice has been like silenced for so long, it's like you want to be that guy that, like, those are the guys that almost like try to speak louder once they get out into the real world. And then
imagine how noticed, like, gay people feel. Like to have it like held in and to tell your family, like, yeah, I'm gay.
Like, what?
And it's like, you know, who gives a fuck what you want? But there's just some people out there, it's like, it's so affecting to them that you're gay. Or, I don't know. I don't think I'd care if my son was gay. Like, all right, just don't.
I wouldn't care either. It's just like, if you're gay, you're gay.
Yeah. Like, if you want to put your penis in his butthole, so be it, you know?
But I feel like with this whole Instagram and YouTube thing and how, I don't want to say easy it is to like become a thing on that, but it's definitely like the tools are there. It's just you have to put in the effort. But then when those tools are presented to specific people, like the people that are, like, feel like their voice has been silenced for so long, it's like now it's like they have this tool to be like, all right, well, let me prove myself now. Let me go out and be like a famous musician or a famous a business person and show people like they were wrong for putting me down for so long. And so many people get caught up in that it's just like they kind of lose themselves in this whole online image. So they lose.
And then you lose your side of reality.
You lose your side of reality. You lose sight of yourself. And then you get caught up in this whole trying to look superior or better than you actually are sort of thing. That's kind of my viewpoint on how social media is. Because the reason why I bring that up is because that's kind of how I approached it in the beginning. It's just like, I want to be a filmmaker. Let me try to prove to people, like, oh, I am worth something. I can make something of my life. Like, I'm not just some like dick that got F's in school. I didn't get F's in straight F's in school, but
you got D's.
I got like D's, C's, maybe I got A's in like certain classes, like artistic classes, but everything else, you know.
We are obviously the lower tier of
the lower tier
Asian American, standards.
Yeah. But it's like having that kind of frustration and like that, that built up anger against the situation, I guess. It's like, I was trying to like prove myself like through social media, like, let me show like that I can be worth something. But then I did notice at some point that I got lost in that. And it was just like, I didn't even care about the work anymore. I just cared about looking like I'm doing something cool. And then when I started to realize that, I had to really take a step back and think to myself, what am I really doing this for?
Yeah.
And eventually I came, long story short, I really do love filmmaking. I really do. I've been doing it for longer than I've been alive, just about, or almost as, or no, not longer than I've been alive. That doesn't make sense. I've been,
so 24 years.
Over half of my life.
20 years, 15 years.
Over half of my life would be 12 years.
Okay.
Minimum half of my life I've been doing this. But I learned to like rearrange the reasons on why I'm approaching things the way that I'm doing. Before, it was kind of like this, let me prove people that I actually am worth something sort of mentality, which is not healthy.
No, that's not, I know exactly the proving people wrong should
have. Yeah. So it's a good way to get give yourself a kick in the ass to get things started, but it's not a good long-term mentality.
It's not.
And then now my priorities are like, you know what? I really do love what I'm doing. I just wasn't approaching it the right way in the beginning. But now the way I'm approaching it is like, I want to use like this skill to like uplift other people. It's like, if I want to help you grow your, I'll help you grow your brand. I'll make a video, that documentary piece that talks positively about you, or make something that makes people laugh. Like ultimately, like the end goal of the things that I make is I want you to get some sort of enjoyment out of it, whether it's you laughed or you, maybe it changes your life perspective in a sense, in some, even if it's really minimally. And it's not, I don't try to make it about me anymore. I just try to make it about like, if you're going to watch something of mine, I want you to either feel inspired, or I want you to laugh, or become like a better person out of it.
I fucking love that.
That's ultimately like the goal that I try to
achieve through everything. You fucking nailed it, dude. Honestly, I realize the more I have become more interactive, more less about me, more less of how it affects others, how I can help this guy, I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't take me for granted. I'm very selective. Mm-hmm. But when I feel like I'm doing something, a good example was, before I got into any of this comedy skating, there was a guy in high school I looked up to.
Yeah.
I had just moved here from Colorado. I was just fucking like looked down upon by all the Asians, because I wasn't even used to being around other Asians. Like, I didn't even know there was more than me. And then so I go from this like suburban Colorado white town to Mexican and Asians fixing up cars, cholos. If I'm not getting dogged or threatened to be kicked, jumped by cholos, I'm just being like looked down upon by my own peers that were Chinese, because they didn't think that I was, they thought I was too whitewashed, or I didn't fit into the culture because I was into punk rock, dyed my hair green. I liked skating. I just liked alternative shit. Yeah. I hated mass shit. I hated race. I hated labels. I hated anything that was just generalized.
Yeah.
You know, and then
like the things that most people like find cool.
Yeah. Like I was against the masses. So I that's what led me into skating. And, I told this to like friends too. Like, it wasn't until I quit skating and I tried to be a regular Joe Schmo is when I got Asian race jokes and all that other shit. I was like, whoa, I didn't know we were a bad driver. I didn't know we ate dog. I was always just used to like seeing fucking Asians, like my brother doing a kickflip. That's all that mattered. Like, what did you get? What did you get, a clip today? Like,
yeah.
And then, it's like you come to now where YouTube, and working with guys, you know who I'm talking about. And then seeing guys that are like, I'm a YouTube influencer. I'm about me. And then you work with people that are like not about that. They're just about whatever. It's a team effort. You just feel so much better. You feel way better knowing that like, yo, we did this.
Yeah.
It's not me. It's fucking not me. It's Scott. It's the sound guy. It's the drone guy. It's the fucking caterer who gave us food. At the end of the day, we're just doing this together. And if you could understand teamwork makes the dream work. That shit is fucking true as fuck, man. You can't 100%. Get by on your own, man.
The people that try to make it about them and like, oh, I made this piece and like, this is all my ideas. It's like, well, you're not going to get that far with that mentality. You're not going to get far. Because it's like all the best pieces of work took a village to make.
And
you have to acknowledge all those people for putting in that effort. If you're the only one like congratulating yourself, then it's either, and making it all about you, it's either one, you made a project like where literally just you worked on it, and there's only so much that
there's one only so person much you can
physically do, or two, you completely ignored the team that helped you put it together. And for me, I'm not about that, because I made this video, which I didn't actually upload yet at the time that I'm actually saying this. I started making some videos for YouTube where I kind of just sat down, talked to the camera, and just shared things that I've just learned to be true over the years. And one of the things that I shared in one of those videos was, like, I feel like I'm very lucky to be where I'm at right now, like working on the jobs that I've been working on at the budget level that it's at. But none of that would have been possible wasn't for people helping me.
You're right.
Like, I literally had mentors like teach me how to like book those jobs. I've had people come onto my sets for little to no money, sometimes good money, most of the time probably not that much money, where they were just helping me put this together, and I ended up being able to put something together really good that people could be proud of. But then I always remember, it's like, I literally can't do this on my own. It's like, people that come on and help me, like, I appreciate that, like, more than people probably, maybe more than people realize. I try to make it clear to them that it's like, I really do appreciate you being here and contributing your time to this project, because, like, the quality that ends up being, I literally can't do that on my own. It's too hard. It's too difficult to do something like that. And like going back to what I said before, it's like, I don't like to make it all about me, because it's like, at the end of the day, it's not really about me. It's about the work that we're putting out, and then the group of people that were willing to put their time into making something cool. And because of that, it's like, we all grow too. It's like, I want to be the type of person that, like, I want to grow by helping other people grow. And I feel like that's the strongest way to like grow like your craft. And
when you do that, dude, when you do something right, it's the universe does this thing where when you're pure hearted and you do things right, you're good. Yeah. Like karma will find its way to like repay you. A lot of what I do now, how do you get into teaching skating? Bro, don't even ask me. I have no idea. I don't know how, like, tomorrow I have 4 clients, all of whom are very, very successful people. Who reached out to me through a fucking word of mouth. So, you know, for anyone out there, I don't care what it is. If you're doing porn, like, fuck with etiquette, you know, or you're doing, you know, like anything, like you're at a job that you hate, you're at Chipotle, like give extra meat, you know, don't bitch about another like extra cup of pico de gallo. Cause at the end of the day, when you do shit fucking legit and you make people feel good, people remember, dude. And you never know. Like one guy told me the best advice ever when I was doing Periscope. I got all this money. Like people started donating. I was able to pay my bills through live streams. Never in my life I ever thought I could live stream at home and make money. And the guy who, you know, who happened to help me just said, "You never know who's on the other side. You do not know." And just because you don't know, you might as well put your best foot forward every fucking day. Be a nice guy. Be you know, be your best. Because you don't know who's going to give you an opportunity or a platform to shine. And if you're a fucking cunt and you go and piss people off, listen, I know YouTube fucking guys out there. I'm not going to say who it is. Skaters right now, like, you know, more talented probably than the most talented pros I know. But guess what? They have a fucking retarded attitude and they get no leverage.
Yep. Speaking of, you never know who's on the other side of the screen. Like the work that I was putting out, like the whole reason why I started like working with skateball and stuff is because like some of the skate footage that I was putting out, George happened to be on the other side of the screen, like watching it. George was on the other side watching it, and he just saw the work, and I don't know exactly what was going through your mind, but something told you like, hey, maybe you're the guy that can make skateboard videos really good.
Yeah. So like when I met Scott, I mean, I met Scott at a skate park randomly. The guy had told me, you know, he does good production. And when I saw his work, it wasn't this viral YouTube prank. It was good work. The cinematography was incredible. The shots were beautiful. It was just like going to a museum and seeing a fucking painting and being like, I can't do that. That guy is really good at what he does. And that's what I mean by putting in the work. The work shows, dude. The work will show, and the work is what you do to the point where you get paid.
Yep.
And guess what? We're not all going to be pro skaters. I wanted to be pro skater, but good fucking luck. It is way too crazy. It is insanely hard. And sometimes we might not even have the fucking talent or whatever in our DNA to do that. But you can always go around things you love. Mm-hmm. You know, like you love skating. You're not going to be a pro skater, but I never thought I would be out teaching skating. Guess what? There's a market for that. I didn't know. There's more people getting tennis lessons and skateboarding lessons. Now you've become a valuable asset, and you can work around those things. Like when I met Scott, like he was filming his friends doing like skate videos and putting out just killer footage. And I already knew based on this guy's work, if I got him on board, he could just deliver without even hesitating. And so to go back to the beginning of our conversation, yeah, 5 videos in, and you know, he's already on his second Indiegogo. The first Indiegogo raised 50% more than
technically third.
Yeah, he's raised. When you make money for people with a project or whatever, you're doing something right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want to say, like, I'm so impressed, and I'm super proud to call you not only as a friend, but like a work associate, a skater. I mean, and we just got booked on another project. So we're about to get reconnected to do some more shit. And that's just the way the world goes, dude.
Yeah, I want to take a moment to like acknowledge you, like going back to what we were saying earlier, like you never really know who's on the other side of the screen. Like you are one of those examples. Like you saw the clips I was posting. I don't know, maybe you looked into other things that I made or whatever, you got impressed, and then he ended up referring me to Skateball, and I started working with him more consistently. We became good friends because of it. But that little move right there, like as simple as it was, like it literally changed my life. So I just want to
acknowledge you here
and say thank you for doing that. It's like a small act went a long way. And then also another example of why you need to be putting out like the best things possible. And you never know who's watching. It's like one of the clients that I have now, literally, this is crazy to me how she found me. I get a random email one day from this person that whose name I don't recognize at all. And then they say, hey, I really love your work. Can you shoot this thing for me on this day? I'm like, sure. Who is this? And like, what exactly are we doing? And then I managed to get a hold of her and chat with her. I ended up booking the job. I went to go shoot it. And I think maybe the following day or something, we had another meeting. We went out to lunch together and we were chatting. And then I asked her, like, how did you find me? Because I looked you up. We have no mutual friends. We have no connection. We have no connection to each other. Like, how exactly did you find me? And she was like, oh, I Googled you. I'm like, you Googled me? What?
Wow.
I don't do anything to improve my SEO. I don't pay for Instagram or Facebook ads anymore. That's crazy. So I'm just like, wait, you Googled me? Like, I must have shown up on the 26th page of Google in that case. So what? And she's like, yeah, I moved here to America. I did a talk show back home in Sri Lanka. and I want to do the, start the show up again, but I want to put it on YouTube. And I was looking for somebody who can help me shoot it, but I'm very particular on who I want to work with. So I did a lot of research on the people. So I was literally like going through all these different production companies and videography people and narrowing it down. And I narrowed it down to three people, and you're one of those three people. And then I ended up chatting with those three people on the phone, and you're the one that I liked the most. And I went with you. We made the videos. I like the way you work. I like our chemistry together. Like, I want you to be the guy.
That's amazing. And
I literally thought to myself, what are the odds of that happening? But it also showed me too, that going back to what I said, you never know who's watching. You never know who your next client might be watching it right now. And I'm a firm believer that a lot of it's really common for people to say like, oh, people aren't willing to pay for expensive video production. Like, people don't have the budgets for that. And I say, no, that's bullshit.
Bullshit.
Like, they're just harder to find. They're out there. And those are the people that are very particular with what they want, and they understand what good quality is. And since they have the money, they're willing to pay for that. And they're going to narrow it down to the person that they think is the perfect person. And that just so happened to happen in my case. She narrowed thousands of people down to me. And she saw like my resume and the work that I was currently putting out. She's like, okay, you're the one. And then she's a good friend and a good client of mine.
Well, what's sick too is like things connect the dot. And I believe in synergy. I believe in energy. Motion creates motion. And when you start working like the way we were on a roll, you start to create what is called a universal law of attraction. So you're operating on a higher frequency, because get this, like Scott, not only like the whole thing about what he got after working together, when the thing fell through, we were all pretty hurt because we really wanted to see this shit go long term. But honestly, in business and the world of marketing, it just comes down to money. A lot of times an idea can be great, but those guys don't care about ideas. They don't care about art. They just care about ROI, return on investment. And we just had to disband from a beautiful thing, and Scott had to go, you know, do his thing. And I think because I was acting and doing so many of these things, I landed a national fucking Apple commercial. I know I signed an NDA, I can't say shit, but who gives a fuck? The iPhone 11 came out, so whatever. It's been out for, you know, whatever long. But I mean, to honestly go from all the shit we did to go into an audition, go through three grueling callbacks for the biggest company in the fucking world, I mean, and get a lead, I'm like, yo, this is not coincidence. I had gone out years before I got that role. But you got to be doing shit, bro. You got to be creating a ripple in the universe. And when you're on a roll, dude, that's when things start coming. And that's what I mean by putting in the work, putting in the good work. Because once you just keep going, and you go, and you go, and you just level up. You level up, you level up, you level up, everything. Skating, comedy, filmmaking, whatever it is. You just got to keep going. You don't have to burn yourself out. You know, a lot of times people burn out, they go in too hard, they get too horny, you know, and they like drop the ball. You have to move. Like, for me, I love the turtle and the hare, that story. Because this fucking hare, the rabbit was so horny, it was like, oh, fuck this turtle, I'm gonna beat this guy. And this bitch fucking, you know, he tapped out and he fell asleep. But the turtle's like, bitch, I'm gonna get there. It doesn't matter how, I'm just gonna keep going. And he didn't stop, and he ended up winning because that bitch ass rabbit was sleeping. So what I'm saying is, like, you gotta be like the turtle. You know, you gotta keep moving, even if it's at a slow pace. Fuck it. Just keep going. Don't stop.
That's super true, because I've started to learn that to really get anywhere with anything in a meaningful way, you got to be the turtle.
You got to be the turtle and you got to be doing shit. Yep. I know it's like this is why these like YouTube guys, they just stay there, man. You guys aren't branching out. You're just doing you. Like, if you need to fucking level up, you got to connect more. You got to work and you have to be willing to put in that work and work with different people. And you have to be also not only putting in good work, be like tolerable. Because a lot of times, dude, for people out there, you're getting into sets, you have to know your role. When you get into these places, there are a million people that can just blast your name as a fucking douche, or this guy is full, and that gets kicked around. And trust me, I've seen guys lose gigs every fucking day hanging out with Scott because one guy was too negative. Even you're at an after party. Like, we had a guy recently, we're at an after party for some guy's production. It's his premiere night, and this fucking douchebag doesn't want to jump in the photo because he's too cool to be in the photo of the production he's in. And it's like, well, fuck you then. Like you think that looks good to the guy throwing it? Like, we're a team. No one's too cool for shit. I was at this production. Shout out to my boy, Alex. I was so like, we were watching this. We're in the middle of the theater. I'm sorry. We're in the middle of the premiere. Everyone's faces towards the screen. I try to lean back because the shit has Spanish subtitles. So I'm trying to read the subtitles. My chair got caught into a tile crack, and I flew back in the middle of a vaudeville clown sketch where like I flew completely back. I mean, to the point where the waitress left the room because she didn't want to laugh. Like she had to vacate the premises. Because, and then everyone looks over and like, you know, for like a split minute, it's like, what the fuck just happened? Why is this Asian guy on the floor? Did he just fly all the way back?
Asian dude had too many beers.
And I went back on the chair like it didn't even happen. I was like, I didn't fall. Fuck it. I'm there screaming at the screen. You know, I'm there to support. And, you know, you just on and off the fucking stage, on and off the job. You just got to be a stand-up guy, man.
Yep. You, in the long run, like, you're more respectable doing that. And it's like, because you know how to put your ego to the side.
You got to put the ego to, it's all ego.
You don't make it about, you don't make it about you every chance that you can.
I think that's what it's all about. My comedy got better, man. I used to be the guy who'd go to comedy shows, sit in the back, not support the show, watch everyone set, not laugh, like just try so hard not to laugh. And,
like, judge them.
Because I wanted to be the best. And I realized when I go and do a show now, fuck being the best. I just want to do the best I can do for me. And that's made me a better comic because ultimately I want the people paying that $20 who got a babysitter, who are buying two drinks, to have a good show with everybody. Because that just goes back to comedy. If you go to a good comedy show and all the comics kill, you're just going to go back to supporting comedy. So just know your role. Do your thing. No one's trying to be the best. I mean, once you realize, like, yo, when you get that out of your head, you know, that, like, you know, you want to be more, a part of something rather than just in it for yourself, you'll notice like things will start to be better. I think easier.
100%. Like people that make from experience, everyone that I've seen that makes it about themselves, they don't stick around for long because no one wants to be around them.
Yeah. And this, okay. And this just goes in general, in relationships, in friendships. Why do you want to be with someone that's unpleasant to be around?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's people I just don't – like, tonight I got invited to do a comedy show. I just didn't want to go because there was a few guys that I had done comedy with that, you know, got sideways with me, and I why would I want to be subjected to that? You know, mm-hmm. Why would I want to be subjected to negativity and that's why it's so important to have a good vibe. Cause you never know what someone else might feel. I mean, you could do or say something like a year ago and that was our only impression of you. And that impression stays in our mind forever. Even if you're the coolest fucking guy, right? Have you ever met a guy and you're like, oh, you're actually really cool, but you thought he was a douche, like, just because he snapped at you the wrong way, or...
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So if you guys are, tuning in and you just heard this conversation between me and my buddy Scott, you definitely use this.
Been talking for like almost actually hours.
Hour and a half, hour and 16. But here's what's exciting: we are going to switch this over to my positive prank call segment of the show.
Yeah, that shit is funny, dude. I have fun just watching it.
We're going live on Periscope today, so. I don't know if you guys follow me on Wang's World, but we have a show called Positive Prank Calls. And we do prank calls, but we try to do it in a different style where it's less negative. We're trying to get a positive reaction out of the prank victim. But, yeah.
I'm excited to do that, dude. I always love like chatting with you, man.
Yeah, man.
Because I love just good conversation.
Like, it's been positive, dude.
Yeah, I get more enjoyment out of just talking one on one with somebody, like in a podcast or something, than I do like going out with a group of people. It's like you can. There's a lot that can be. I don't know what's the word. There's a lot more connection in that sort of.
It's less being fake and less, you know, yeah. When you're around a lot of people, it's like you gotta
kind of easy to be fake around.
It's easy. I mean, it's not even being fake. It's just trying to adapt.
Sure.
Yeah, where you're trying to just play the role and you can't really be yourself with like 10,000 people like at once.
Sure. I agree with
you. You know, because it's just too much, it's too time and energy consuming. But so here's what's exciting. If you want to check this out, any of our videos, you can go on my YouTube channel, Wang's World. We also have the Skate Bolt YouTube channel. And then
just Scott Takai, Scott Takai on everything pretty much.
And you can find him on Instagram at
Instagram, YouTube. Honestly, I prefer people to go to my YouTube. Like Instagram is, to me, is getting to this point where I'm just like partially over it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still see and understand its importance. So that's what's keeping me from deleting it. But right now I've been trying to direct my attention more to more produced, more quality kind of work.
And we got a pretty cool project on the way. Me and Scott have been doing a little bio doc on a day in the life of Wang.
Not really a day in the life, but just a bio.
Yeah, it's like a bio.
The bio part, yes. The day in the life part, I wouldn't call it.
Yeah, it's not really day in the life because it's been like several days in the life. But he's been going around filming me at comedy clubs, at my skateboarding lessons. I was just skateboarding, and it's been awesome. And I want to take the time to just say thank you for taking your time to do all of that. You know,
oh yeah, man.
I mean, seriously, that means a lot to me.
I'm not putting as much time as I'd like to into it, but to me, the way I'm looking at it is like if I want it to be good, like, we can't just half-ass it and put it out quickly. It's like, I'm willing to, like...
Look, there's no rush,
dude. Even if it took, like, a year to make or whatever, that's fine.
There's no fucking rush. To make
a documentary, a good documentary project, that's just...
I'm watching a documentary on a fucking internet serial killer when the murders took place in 2012. And it's relevant today. So, I mean, this shit takes time. If you want anything to be good, you got to take the time, put in the work. If you guys want to just stay tuned, because we're also going to be doing some more projects. We just got hired on to do some new shit. So I'm excited to get the team together. We're going to be back on Instagram cheering at Shabu. Reunited. So, if you guys are listening, man, make sure to follow me on my Positive Prank Calls, Periscope. Download the app, Wang's World. Got a lot of comedy dates. January 28th, I am going to be headlining. I got asked to headline end of the year at Nova Brewing Company. It used to be the Rev Winery. That's in Covina. Nova Brewing, they're on Instagram. January 3rd, I am at the Ice House. January 10th, I am at the Knuckles Comedy Club. January 14th, I'm at Savelle's Comedy Hour in Long Beach. February 12th, I'm going to be at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room. We're going to kick off fucking January with a bang. And I am so excited to see what the future holds in for both me and Scott. So stay tuned and love, peace, and chicken grease.
Just keep making stuff.
Keep doing you.
Just leave me hanging here.
Yeah, don't leave them hanging. Don't be a douche.
Dangling my hands. Right, I love you.
Yeah, that's the dabs, homie. Yeah, we're out.
I can use another beer.
Let's do another beer.
Yep.